A lot of people say that cats are adorable. Some people say they're neighborhood serial killers. A new book has fueled the indoor-outdoor cat debate by calling for the removal of all outdoor cats by any means necessary. It's called Cat Wars: The Devastating Consequences of a Cuddly Killer. The authors say that feral and outdoor domestic cats are a threat to wildlife. Our producer Sean Powers has been living at the center of this cat controversy for most of the year. It all started for him on Valentine's Day around 1:30 in the morning when Sean woke up to a cat outside of his apartment door.
Okay, I was just sleeping and I woke up to the noise of a cat. This is who's trying to get into my apartment right now. Buddy, are you okay? Hey, I'm allergic to you. I can't let you in. I'm allergic.
But the lovable cat won over logic, and Sean went ahead and let the cat in. Sean later learned that the cat's name is Gatsby, and its owner, Sean's neighbor, raised it as an outdoor cat.
Every time I saw Gatsby's owner open the front door to our apartment building to let him outside for the night, I would quickly lead him back into the building and into my apartment. We would cuddle and watch TV for several hours. Sometimes he'd spend the night. This went on for months, and his owner had no idea. Sure, I was abducting the cat, but I was just too worried that something bad might happen to him if I let him outside.
Sean eventually let Gatsby go on his own way, and Sean ended up getting two cats of his own.
I'm at my apartment in Atlanta with my two cats. There's Alonzo. He's the feisty one. And there's Jay Clem. They're both black cats, and I try to give them their outdoor fix by walking them outside on leashes. I saw how happy being outside made Gatsby feel, but I can't take a chance that they'll run away or get hurt.
But plenty of cat owners believe that their pets should have the freedom to roam. What's so wrong with that? Barbara King is an emerita professor of anthropology at the College of William and Mary. She also writes about animal behavior for NPR, and we invited her to talk about the ethics of cat ownership. Hello, Barbara.
Hi, good morning.
So in terms of their own welfare, do we know if cats really are better off outside rather than inside?
Well, we here in our home in Virginia have made the decision to keep cats indoors because, just as Sean was talking about with Gatsby, it is safer for them, and it's also safer for birds and small mammals. I know that some people feel very strongly that their cats are unhappy indoors or penned up indoors, but I think the cost-benefit ratio for both the cats and for other animals really tips us towards trying very hard to keeping cats indoors. Or, you know, there's ways to enclose them outdoors. There's cat patios that are called catios. There's all kinds of ingenious solutions now so that cats can get a bit of fix of the outdoors but not be in danger themselves or a danger to others.
Yeah, Sean's neighbor, Jessica, who owns Gatsby, has talked about she's considered getting a Fitbit for Gatsby to monitor him when he's outside via the GPS and, I suppose, maybe track how many steps he's getting. But Jessica also says that her outdoor cat, Gatsby, this outdoor customer, has brought back some surprises from his journeys. Let's listen.
He's caught, you know, the usual chipmunks, birds. He caught a fish once from a little creek, a tiny snake, I think a lizard. You know, he's a friendly creature. He's not hurting anyone else's pets. He's not hurting people. And, you know, cats came from the outside. You know, they're naturally outdoor creatures.
Now, Barbara, I suppose that we're all naturally outdoor creatures and we're all naturally predatory. But do we know if cats cause any kind of significant environmental damage? We know about the anecdotes. We see them coming back with, you know, mice and rodents all the time, little presents. But do they actually hurt the urban and suburban environments that they inhabit?
Yeah, that's the question at hand. First, I don't think we're all predatory. By the way, there's lots of species that are not. But anyway,
I meant humans. Sorry.
Okay, I think it's really important for even the strongest cat advocates to admit that, yes, cats do negatively impact bird populations and small mammals. So I think the question is more to what degree, and then, of course, what do we do about it? One thing I really dislike strongly is the discourse that is going around, certainly fueled by the Cat Wars book that you mentioned in the introduction, that cats are vicious predators. In fact, of course, they just evolved to be predators, and this is in their nature. This does not mean that we need to take drastic steps to eradicate them. Now, I have talked to scientists who are biologists and ornithologists, and they give me one set of numbers about the impact of cats on other wildlife. And I talk to people who are urban ecologists and cat advocates, and they give me another set of numbers. I think right now we're not really on solid ground with some of these extremely sensational projections about cats killing literally billions of birds. I think a lot of small studies have been greatly overgeneralized and that we don't actually have good science on the impact. But the question for me is not, I mean, the numbers are important and we need to nail them down, but we need to really remember that we're talking about animals here who deserve a chance at life, that the answer is not to eradicate cats, but to work together to reduce cat populations in really humane ways so that we can love these cats and not demonize them.
What would those humane ways be?
Well, first of all, of course, TNR. TNR stands for trap, neuter, and return. And just like it sounds, cats are taken from the community. These may be feral cats that are completely unsocialized or stray cats that are homeless at the moment but are more socialized. They're spayed and they're neutered and they're returned to the place where they were living in some kind of community colony. And the Cat Wars rhetoric that's going around is that TNR is a big failure. And this is not, in fact, accurate according to either my reading or my own personal experience. TNR that's going to be successful requires a lot of community resources, time, and effort. And the thing that I like to really emphasize is that nobody that I know who's a cat advocate is suggesting that we need lots and lots more of feral and stray cats. This is clearly not our goal. We want fewer feral and stray cats, and we want to work to reduce their population numbers. But we can do this without alarmist and sensational rhetoric, or, by the way, without suggesting that there's necessarily a war at hand. You know, the rhetoric is that there's only two possibilities. Either you love cats and you don't care about birds, or you love birds and you don't care about cats. And this is the first starting point. We need to reject that kind of rhetoric and realize that we can think sensibly and take steps to really protect birds. This is very important. And also at the same time, not to ramp up this really violent rhetoric against cats.
My guest is Barbara King. She's an emeritus professor of anthropology at the College of William and Mary. She also writes about animal behavior for NPR. And we're talking about cats, particularly outdoor cats, the damage that they can do, perhaps do, to their surrounding environment as they go about their normal predatory lives, and what's best for them. Is an indoor lifestyle better for them, or is an outdoor lifestyle better for them? And we'd love to know what you think. Hit us on our Twitter, at OSTTalk. Here is another Atlanta resident named Henry Kellogg, who says that having an indoor cat makes more sense.
Well, my cat didn't bring mice head and stuff like that, or snake heads or worms in the house, but they chased them out. I'd rather have an indoor cat. If I had a choice, I'd rather have an indoor cat versus an indoor dog. It's like maintenance. They take care of themselves.
Indeed. Now, Barbara, talk to me a little bit more about the ambiguous state of the research concerning the environmental impact of cats. That strikes me as amazing that we wouldn't have clear science on whether or not outdoor cats are posing a substantial, meaningful threat to bird populations or rodent populations that are important to the ecosystem. Would we have clear, uncontested data on this if this story didn't involve a domestic animal about which so many people have really strong feelings?
I don't know if we would or we wouldn't. What I do know is that we need to keep in mind that there's a whole continuum of causes of decimation of bird and small mammal populations. And again, I want to be very clear. It's very upsetting for lots of people who care deeply about birds when cats kill birds. And I want to acknowledge that responsible cat ownership is very important. But what we do know is that millions of birds are killed by cats, and at the same time, many millions of birds a year are killed by human activities, not only because birds smash into our windows and collide with our automobiles and die because of our pesticides, but also because of developed land. You know, I found by reading the information that Alley Cat Allies has put out, which is a wonderful organization that I would direct your listeners to, that one-sixth of the land developed over the whole history of our country occurred between 1982 and 1992. And the point here is that we are continuously taking over the land that birds build their nests on, wildlife lives in. We ourselves have impact on bird populations. And so this is not to dismiss the impact of cats. It's not an either-or, but rather it's a suggestion that all this, these data that I do not believe are necessarily properly vetted about the numbers of animals that cats are killing should not translate directly into some kind of policy against cats.
That's Barbara King, Emeritus Professor of Anthropology at the College of William and Mary. She also writes about animal behavior for NPR. Barbara, thank you so much.
Thank you.